The date was 1997 and the place was the U.S. A survey conducted by the American Academy of Family Physicians shows that 99% of doctors believe a relationship exists between faith and physical healing. More than 1,000 healthcare professionals met at Harvard Medical School to examine the connection between spirituality and healing. It appears that doctors' faith in faith was bolstered by a California study of the effect of prayer on recovery from heart problems. 200 patients were assigned to Christians who prayed for them, while 200 others, which was the control group, received absolutely no known prayers. Over a period of 6 months, neither group knew about the prayers. Yet those who received prayer developed half of the complications that were experienced by those in the control group. Also, not one of the people who received prayer died during that study. 12 in the other group did. Is there a connection between faith, God, and healing? Well, it would be my guess this morning that there are a few here today that are in need of healing. Perhaps you're dealing with physical frailty right now, or you're exhausted emotionally. Perhaps your past hurts are still causing present pain. There's a good chance that you've slipped spiritually and at some point in your life. Well, I can say that our deacons and myself, we have had many opportunities to pray with many of you. And I know that our deacons are more than happy to pray with any one of you at any time. We've gone through some pretty tough stuff, haven't we? Well, this morning our focus is on yet another name of God, Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. And this name is first revealed shortly after the Israelites were unshackled from their bondage in Egypt, and they have just passed through the Red Sea on dry ground. The people are excited to finally be free. They express their praises in Exodus 15. The very beginning of the chapter says this: I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. That'd be Pharaoh and all of his men. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. And God is referred to by two of his names, Elohim and Yahweh, in this song of praise that ends up lasting for 21 verses. But then their praising turns into a time of protest. In verse 22, we read that Moses led them into the desert of Sur. And Sur means a wall. And that's exactly how they felt. They had run into a wall of despair instead of a window of blessing. Some of you have hit a wall today, haven't you? Or recently. And after wandering in the wilderness for 3 days, three whole days they wandered, having no water to drink, the people turned to Moses at a place called Marah, which means bitterness. They go from giving praise to grumbling. And their protests, because when they finally find some water, they discover that it had a very bitter taste. They were so excited to locate this refreshment, only to have their expectations shattered. And in verse 24, they put Moses on the spot. What are we to drink? The people are angry with God, and yet they take it out on Moses. We do that as well, don't we? And I want you to notice that their gratitude turns to griping when the memory of God's faithfulness is somehow forgotten. 3 days prior, they crossed over on dry land. Walls of water on either side of them. Pharaoh and his entire army chasing them. And yet they've somehow forgotten the grace of God. It only took them 3 days to land there in the ditch of despair. Bitterness can blind us to the promises of God. They have forgotten the life in Egypt was terrible. Even though they had ate bitter herbs as part of the Passover to remember the bitterness of their slavery just a short time before, on that very first Passover, before Pharaoh said, "Get out of my land." But now, freedom from Egypt has also left them feeling bitter because their expectations are shattered. And Moses cries out to the Lord, and instead of protesting, he prays. When we're in pain, we must pray. And God answers Moses by showing him a simple piece of wood. Moses takes the wood, whips it into the water, and the water immediately becomes sweet. God then initiates a test and tells them in verse 26, it says this, "If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians. For I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord who heals you." See, God is linking their holiness with their health as he declares one more name for himself, Jehovah Rapha. And in the midst of their bitterness and hurt, God reveals himself as their healer. Now, the word Rapha is used some 60 times in the Old Testament, and it means to restore, to heal, to cure, physically, emotionally, spiritually. In 1 Kings 18, we read that Elijah repaired Rapha, the altar of Jehovah. In 2 Kings chapter 2, God Rapha or heals the water when Elijah throws salt in the spring. You see, this word has the idea of restoring something to its original state. Now, sometimes we are in need of healing in all three areas at the same time, aren't we? God reveals himself as Jehovah Rapha as when we are in need of emotional healing. Jehovah Rapha heals emotional hurts and broken hearts. Psalm 147 says, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." And the word broken means to burst, to break into pieces, to crush, to smash. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes you feel that way, where your heart has just been crushed. Emotionally, you're spent. Your pain is overwhelming. And whatever pain you are carrying around, hand it to the healer today. Maybe it's something that happened to you when you were younger. Perhaps it was something that happened to you yesterday. I don't know. But in the midst of your tears, cry out to Jehovah Rapha and ask him to put you back together again. Related to this is relational ruptures that can cause us emotional pain. If you're struggling with a broken relationship, I encourage you to do what you can to make peace. That's what Romans tells us. Romans tells us in chapter 12, verse 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends upon you, live at peace with everyone. So yes, we need emotional healing. Sometimes we need physical healing. I know that there's many of us that are experiencing a tough time right now, trying to process the pain and the discouragement that comes from a physical disability, a difficulty. Maybe it's a personal pain, or you've been devastated with news that you received about a family member or a friend or yourself. Whatever the case, when our bodies don't work right, we end up feeling uptight. We end up feeling hurt. But at times like this, we need Jehovah Rapha to do His healing work in our lives. And the Bible is filled with examples of God's healing touch. I think of 2 Kings chapter 20. We read that Hezekiah became very ill. He's about to die, and as a result of intense intercession, he was healed and his life was extended. Amazing account where it says, "This is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will Rapha you. I will add 15 years to your life." In the Gospels, we see that Jesus spent a surprising amount of time healing people, going from town to town, bringing about physical healing. And so, yes, Jehovah Rapha heals emotional problems. He also heals physical. But more than any of that, there is spiritual healing. And this is by far the most important of the three realms of healing. Jehovah Rapha sees that we are spiritually sick, and He provides healing and wholeness through the shed blood of Jesus on the cross. Folks, our diagnosis is bad. Our prognosis is terminal. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it, says Jeremiah. We are sinners. We have been inflicted with the disease of death and destruction, and we are in desperate need of a new heart. But once we are set free spiritually, Jesus can break every other bondage we are under, including addictions, deep-seated sin patterns. No matter what it is, Jesus, Jehovah Rapha, can do that. And it's certainly true that Jesus healed a lot of people physically. He's always more interested in curing our sin problem. And the pervasiveness of sin in our souls is pictured so vividly in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1 says this: "Why do you persist in rebellion? Your whole head is injured, your whole heart afflicted. From the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there is no soundness, only wounds and welts and open sores, not cleansed or bandaged or soothed with oil." Our depravity is total, affecting every part of our lives. Verse 18 in Isaiah chapter 1 provides good news, showing that the cleansing power of forgiveness, though your sins were like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. See, when the Israelites were faced with 3 days without water, Numbers 15 says that God tested them. And likewise, when we go through tough times emotionally, physically, or spiritually, we are really encountering a testing time. And I can't say for certain, because I don't know, but I can't help but think perhaps there is a great testing going on in France right now. From what I've heard, to have churches bursting at the seams, of people turning to the Lord, they're turning to Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. So here are some principles to keep in mind that will help us pass the test to better understand the healing power of Jehovah Rapha. The first thing is that trials and troubles can get us back on track. I talked to someone not long ago who told me that his difficulties led him to read the Bible to get closer to the Lord. Another person told me this past year was extremely difficult, but it was actually a blessing because he fully surrendered to Christ as a result of all the pain and suffering that they were going through. Beth Moore suggests that we all have empty places in our lives as a result of brokenness and dissatisfaction. It causes this secret abyss for many of us. When we are hurting, we must run to Jehovah Rapha and resist the urge to fill our emptiness with things that will not satisfy. The second thing is that sometimes our pain is related to personal sin. When you're hurting physically or emotionally, it's always good to do a quick check, a quick inventory to see if you have any unconfessed sin in your life. David links physical pain and emotional agony to his personal sin. In Psalm 32, we read, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groanings all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer." But let me say this very clearly. Personal sin may be a contributing factor to your illness. Therefore, we should take that seriously. But principle three is this. Not all illness is directly linked to personal sin. We can certainly say that all illness ultimately is a result of Adam and Eve's sin. But we must be careful not to link every problem that we have to some sin in our lives. That was the mistake that Job's friends made when they kept accusing him of wrongdoing. So let's be careful here. Some of you beat yourselves up mercilessly because you blame yourselves for your own predicament, your own pain. Others of you, maybe you need to back off like Job's friends needed to back off and stop accusing people. Stop giving them your perspective on why someone else is suffering. Jesus addressed this prevalent mindset when he was asked to explain why a certain man was blind. His disciples wanted to know whether the man had sinned or his parents. And Jesus said, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life." And don't get me wrong, this man had sinned. But it had nothing to do with his illness. His parents had sinned. They're human. They're just like all of us. But their sin had nothing to do with that illness. It was there so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. And the fourth thing that we need to understand is it's okay to go to a professional. But go to the great physician first. Well, there are some people who refuse to get any help because they want to trust God alone for their healing. It's my understanding that God often works his healing through doctors, other trained professionals, through medicine. Remember that bitter waters that at Marah became better only when something was added to them. God can heal with just a word from his mouth, but he uses other instruments as well. Do you remember King Asa? Do you? No? Yes? Some of you? King Asa is a warning to us. When he was sick, he didn't go to God first, but instead he went straight to the doctor. In 2 Chronicles 16, we read, though his disease was severe, even in his illness, he did not seek help from the Lord, but only from the physicians. Don't bypass Jehovah Rapha, the great physician, on the way to the doctor's office. And the fifth thing, number five, we need the community of faith. James chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 describe what we should do when we are sick. First of all, we call for the elders of the church and ask for prayer. Secondly, confess your sins to one another. And third, pray for each other. These steps are only possible if you're plugged into a community of faith. If you don't have that community of faith, who are you going to call for prayer? If you don't have that community of faith, how can you possibly confess your sins to one another? If you don't have a community of faith, how can you pray for someone else? When you're hurting and you need help of others, sometimes those around us don't always know how to help. Listen to this short story. It's called Comforters. When I was diagnosed with a deadly disease, my first friend came and expressed shock by saying, "I can't believe you're sick. I always thought you were so active and healthy." He left and I felt alienated and somehow very different. My second friend came and brought me information about different treatments, gave me his opinion about what to do. He left and I felt scared and confused. My third friend came and tried to answer my whys and told me God was maybe disciplining me for some sin in my life. She left and I felt guilty. My fourth friend came and told me that if my faith was greater, God would heal me. He left and I felt like my faith must be inadequate. My fifth friend came and told me to remember that all things work together for good. She left and I felt angry. My sixth friend never came at all, and I felt sad and alone. My seventh friend came, held my hand and said, "I care. I'm here. I want to help you through this." She left and I felt loved, and I knew that everything was going to be okay. We need the community of faith. We need one another. I think I've been every one of those friends. But when it all boils down to it, don't be careless. Don't be careless about communion. Communion with one another, but communion with God. And in a few moments, we are going to celebrate communion to help us remember what Christ did for us on the cross. My sense is that we don't think enough about the seriousness of this ordinance. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 29 and 30, Paul tells the Christians to approach the elements with a sense of awe and to make sure that we are living in unity with others. Because if we don't, we're in danger of actually becoming sick, even dying. It says these words, "For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep." Folks, the cross of Christ is a source of healing. Don't miss the significance behind the wood from a tree providing sweetness in the bitter water. All of our problems began at a tree in the garden. Our sin problem is resolved because of another piece of wood, shaped like that, a cross. A piece of wood that was used to hold up our sin substitute. 1 Peter chapter 2 picks up on this. It says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." Folks, only Jesus can sweeten the bitterness of life. So whether you're hurting emotionally, physically, or spiritually, turn to Jehovah Rapha right now. Before we get to the table, I want to jump back very quickly to Exodus 15, just for a second. See, after God made that sour water sweet, he then led the Israelites to a place called Elim. We read in verse 27 that Elim had 12 springs and 70 palm trees. And God led them to a place of plenty. Even if we're not cured, we can be healed by Jesus. He is both the wood and the living water. John chapter 7, verse 37 says, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." The only way to go from Mara, bitterness, to Elim, that is which is better, is to turn to Jesus, who is Jehovah Rapha. Today we're going to do something a little different. Communion is three parts today. The first part is a bitter herb. I've got horseradish in our communion plates this morning. These are part of the Passover celebration in order to remind God's people of the bitterness of bondage. We were enslaved to sin before Christ set us free. And this helps us understand that our sin is bitter in God's mouth. So I encourage you to take a piece of the horseradish. Place it in your mouth and chew on it to be reminded how much God hates our sin. How bitter and gross. How much it enslaves us. So would the servers come at this time and we're going to hand out the bitter herb of horseradish. And then we'll have a prayer. And then we'll continue with our traditional communion with the bread and the cup. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we partake of this bitter root, help us remember our sinfulness and how offensive it is to you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. His body was broken for us that we might be forgiven. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you that you willingly went to the cross That your body was broken for us, that we can be forgiven. That you are Jehovah Rapha, the great physician, the great healer. And that you heal us not only physically, emotionally, but most of all spiritually, that we might be whole again. Thank you. Amen. Through the blood of Christ, we can experience that true, amazing healing from Jehovah Rapha, that spiritual healing, and we can be thankful for it. We move from bitterness of our sin to that which is far better, forgiveness. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus' blood was spilt on the cross for us, and that because of that, we can be forgiven. We are so thankful for that. We ask you this morning to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that we might experience you, Jehovah Rapha. This we pray. Amen.